Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Our next thought leadership discussion on attaining intelligent spend management explores the findings of a recent IDC survey and uncovers a path to improvement. We'll now learn how a long history of legacy systems and outdated methods holds companies back from their potential around new total spend management optimization. The payoffs on gaining such a full and data-rich view of spend patterns across services, hiring, and goods included reduced risk, new business models, and better strategic decisions. Here to help us chart the future of intelligent spend management and understand how the market views these issues, we're now joined by Drew Hoffler, Vice President of Portfolio Marketing at SAP Ariba and SAP Fieldglass. Hey, welcome back, Drew.
Thanks, Dana. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, so what are the trends or the competitive pressures that are continuing to make companies seek better ways to get this total vendor use landscape under control? Why are they still sort of incentivized to do this?
Yeah, I think because companies are now, you know, after years of grabbing kind of best of breed or niche solutions for various different parts of the source to pay process, companies seem to be coming to the limits of this kind of siloed landscape and with applications that really handle one kind of spend. And companies are now being asked to look at their spend as a whole, right? Their vendor spend as a whole, whereas before they would look just at travel and expense vendors, or they would look at services procurement, or they would look at indirect or direct vendors. Companies, chief procurement officers, CFOs are wanting to understand what's going on with spend holistically. And in fact, from the report, from the IDC report, we found that 53% of respondents use different applications for each type of vendor spend that they have, and sometimes even multiple applications within a process inside a vendor spend. In fact, I think what we see is that a lot of the folks that we talk to have cobbled together a number of different things, from in-house built to, like I said, niche vendors and things to that effect. And keeping track of all of that, managing all of that when there's an upgrade to one particular system versus another and having to test across the whole thing is very difficult, as well as not being able to really reconcile data back and forth. And in fact, one of our competitors, just to give kind of an example of how this sort of Frankenmonster approach has taken root, one of our competitors has tried to build this platform of every source and every category of spend across the entire source to pay process by acquiring 14 different companies in 6 years. And what that really does is create this kind of patchwork of applications where, yeah, there's a skim of UI across the top for people to enter, but the data is disconnected. The processes are disconnected, and you have to manage all of these different code bases. And that's just, we're coming to the end of that because it's just getting to be untenable anymore.
Right. And if there's that big technology component that you mentioned, but there's a people level to this as well. And, you know, more and more we hear about employee experience and trying to give people the right tools, the intelligent tools to make the higher level decisions and not get bogged down in sort of swivelware and cutting and pasting and that sort of thing. So tell us a little bit about the survey results and how this is all about people, process, and technology.
It really is a combination of people, process, and technology that drives intelligent spend. And it's the idea of bringing together every source, every category, every buying channel for all of your different types of vendor spend so that you can reconcile on the technology side, you can reconcile the data, right? So for example, one of the things that we've built in is this master vendor unification, if you will, across the different types of spend, so that what the vendor that you see, say IBM, for example, in one system is going to be the same as in the other system. And even the data about that vendor is going to be enriched by the data from these other systems that are connected in a unified platform. But to do that, you have to build upon a platform that really uses the same services, microservices, the same data that reconciles all of those records across them so that you're looking at a consistent view of the data that you have. And then it also has to be built, though, with the user in mind, right? So when we talk about every source and category and channel of spend being unified under a holistic intelligent spend management strategy, we're not talking about a monolithic user experience. In fact, it's very important that the experience of the user be tailored to their particular role, to their particular persona, and to what they do. So for example, if I want to do my expenses or book some travel, I don't want to go into a big, deep sourcing type of system that's very complex and based on my laptop, I want to go into a mobile app and I want to take care of that really quick. On the other hand, if I'm sourcing some strategic suppliers, I certainly can't do that on a mobile app, right? I need data, I need details, I need analysis. And that's why we have built the platform underneath to tie all of this together, but made the UIs and made the interfaces and the experience to the supplier exactly what, or to the user, exactly what they need. When we did our spend management survey with IDC, we had over 800 respondents across four regions, right? And the survey showed a real high amount of dissatisfaction across that because of the wide-ranging nature of these areas of expense management, indirect, contingent, service procurement, et cetera, with 48% of procurement executives, you know, saying they're unsatisfied with that spend management today. And it's kind of funny to me because that survey showed a number of different areas that responded, and procurement had the highest dissatisfaction talking about their own process. And I think that's probably because they know how the sausages, they see how the sausage is being made right now.
Drew, this dissatisfaction, it's been pervasive. It's been a while. As we were examining what people want, how did you come away from this survey saying, aha, we're already halfway there and we're well on the way to making these employees more productive, giving them the data they need? Why are you on the right track and where does it go next?
Yeah, I think what came out of the survey is that part of the reason for that dissatisfaction was the multiple technologies cobbled together, lots of different workflows, and there's too many of those, too much data duplication, discrepancies between systems. And it doesn't allow companies to analyze the data, to really understand in a holistic view what's going on. In fact, 47% of the procurement execs say they still rely on spreadsheets for spend analysis, which is just shocking to me, having been in this business for a long time. But I think we're much further along the path in helping that out by doing the things that I was talking about of tying, of reconciling that master data around suppliers so that you're not duplicating data, of tying together in an integrated and seamless way the entire process across different systems that allow for workflow to not be based on the application or the technology, but to be based on the process that companies use. For example, when it comes to installing, you need to install some parts or you need to fix a particular machine, right? You need to be able to order the right parts from the right suppliers, but also coordinate that with the right skilled labor that's needed to install all of that. And if you have separate systems for, say, your services and skilled labor, and then for your goods and parts, you may be very disconnected. There may be parts available, but no skilled labor at the time that you need it in the area that you think you need it. Or there may be the skilled labor, but the parts are not available from a particular vendor where that, you know, skilled labor is. So there is a need, and what we've built is the ability to tie those together so that the system can intelligently see, here's the need coming up. Here's where, you know, the risks are for maybe not having the parts that you need. And here's kind of the fluctuations in the labor market so that you can plan and time that all together. Now, you just can't do that with cobbled together systems. You have to be able to have these fully and seamlessly integrated underneath on a platform that can allow that to happen.
Yeah, Drew, you know, as I listen to you describe where this is going, it so much dovetails with what we hear about the digital transformation of businesses, because you're talking not just about goods and services, you're talking about contingent labor. You're talking about all the elements that come together for a modern business. And they don't all have to be in one brick building in one city. They're definitely distributed, and they sort of have a life cycle of their own. But managing that is the key. So now that we know that we have different moving parts, and we have the technology to evaluate them and manage them, how does holistic spend management sort of come in now to elevate what used to be a back office function into more of this digital transformation value?
So intelligent spend management really makes it possible for all of these various data points, all of the insights that come from these various data points by applying algorithms and machine learning and artificial intelligence to look at all of this data holistically. It can pull out patterns of spend across the entire company, across every category, and it allows the procurement function to be really at the nexus of that insight, right? So if you think of all the spend that happens at a company, it's a huge part of their business when you cross direct and indirect and services and travel and expense, and being able to gain those insights into where are the price fluctuations, where are the peaks and valleys in purchasing versus, you know, what the suppliers and their suppliers can provide to me at time. There's just an infinite amount of data and insights that you can gain. And the procurement function is being asked more and more to bring to the table, not just the back office operational efficiency, but to bring to the table insights that can feed into the business strategy and the business direction. And it's really hard to do that if you've got, like I said, the disconnected or the cobbled together types of systems where it is very much a siloed approach to data, a siloed approach to processes, and very difficult to see those patterns and make those connections. But when you've got that built on a common platform as SAP is doing, you're able to see that from a get your arms around the entire thing, right? And the chief procurement officers, the procurement leaders now can bring to the table quite a lot of data, quite a lot of insights, and that can show the company what they need to know to make the decisions they need to make.
It certainly sounds like the way business is going in general, and you have to start with the building blocks that you have in place. As you're going about this transformation, Drew, what are the benefits you get along the way? So intelligent spend management success has to be sort of proven in order to get the buy-in, and then you get more benefits. So to get that virtuous adoption cycle going, what are the sort of the short, medium, and long-term benefits that you're seeing clients get? And were there any findings in the survey that alluded to those success measurements?
Well, we find that, for example, that 80% of today's spend manager's time is spent on low-level tasks like invoice matching, purchase requisitioning, vendor management. That's one of the things that came out of the survey. And with the tying together of these systems and the intelligent technologies that are infused throughout, those things can be automated, very much so. And even in some cases, they can become autonomous, right? Freeing up time for more valuable pursuits for the employees to do deeper stuff like that. So, you know, new technologies can help, like APIs for ecosystem solutions, where this is one of the great short-term benefits is that if you're on an intelligent spend management platform like SAP's, part of that platform is a network of partners and a network of suppliers. And you can tap into this ecosystem of partners who have solutions that are aligned with core spend management functions, such as a Celonis, for example, that looks at all of your workflows across the entire process because they're all integrated. It can see the thing holistically and can show you where duplications are happening, show you how to make those processes far more efficient than they are now. And that's something that can be accessed very quickly, right? Longer term, companies can start to see and gain the insights into how they're spending. And like I said before, kind of the ebbs and flows, right, of spending and cost and risk. And they can begin to make better decisions on who to buy from, maybe when something is, when one supplier typically ramps up a little better than another supplier, they can choose who to buy from. They can also, in a longer term situation, start to understand the risks involved with their suppliers. So one of the great things about having an intelligent spend platform is the ability to tie in through that network to other data sets, to other providers who can provide, say, risk information on your supplier and on their suppliers, right? And can see deep into the supply chain and can provide risk analytics and allow you to manage that in a much better way. And that's becoming such a big deal today when there's so much information and social media allows information to pass so quickly. When a company is involved, say, when they have a problem with their supply chain, whether that's reputational or something their suppliers are doing that will damage their brand, or whether that's a disruption in service, that comes out very quickly, and that can very quickly hit the bottom line of a company. And so the ability to moderate those risks, to understand them better, and to put strategies together longer term and short term with that makes a huge difference. And intelligent spend platforms allow that to happen.
Right. Intelligent spend management, it seems to me, also allows you to go beyond helping just the bottom line by reducing waste and finding efficiencies. But by really having insight into your entire end-to-end organization, you can start to develop new business models or see where you can start to build out the top line and find business development. So it makes sort of the procurement function not just a back office function that is all about optimization, but you can also now, with intelligence, see where the future business opportunities lie.
That's right. That's right. You absolutely can. Again, it's all about finding those patterns, understanding, you know, what's happening, getting that deeper understanding. And we've got so much data out there now. We've been talking about this forever in any industry, right? The amount of data that keeps piling up. that having the ability to see that again holistically, have that data harmonized, and then the technological capability to drive into the details and patterns of that data is really important. And one of the things that really drives that in intelligent spend management is a network that has, in our case, 20 years worth of spend data, over 13 trillion lifetime of spend data, and over 3 trillion a year moving in transactions moving through our network. Not only do companies have the technologies that we provide in our intelligent spend management platform to understand their own data, but there is also the capability to take advantage of rationalized data across multiple industries, benchmarks, and things to that effect outside of their four walls. So that's a big part of what's happening right now. If you don't have access into those kind of insights, you're kind of operating in the dark a little bit these days.
Are there any examples that come to mind that illustrate some of the major findings from the IDC survey and that also show the benefits of what you've described in terms of this holistic strategic level benefit when you can add intelligence to your end-to-end spend visualization and understanding?
Danfoss, a Danish company, it's a customer of ours that produces heating, cooling, drives, power solutions, things to that effect. Large company, they needed to standardize disparate ERP systems across 72 factories and implement services for indirect spend control and travel across 100 countries. So a very large challenge, right, where there is a very large ability for data to become disconnected and broken down. That's really the key, is that they're looking at the ability to see one version of truth across all the businesses. And one of the things that really drives that need is the need for compliance, right? So if you look at the IDC findings, over a third, close to a half of executive offices really are particularly concerned with compliance to spend management policy, both because it allows more control, deeper trust in budget and forecasts, also because then there are quality issues with making sure that you're getting the right parts from the right suppliers, et cetera. And the ability that Danfoss sees to pull all of that together into a single version of truth, as well as with all of their travel and expenses tied into that together, gives them the ability to make sure that they're complying to what they need to holistically across the business without it being spotty in different ways. So that was one of the key examples. So another one of our customers, Swisscom, a telecommunications company in Switzerland, a large company there, they took the approach of needing to bring in intelligent spend management to manage their indirect and their contingent workforce. They have 16,000 contingent workers with 23,000 emails and a couple thousand and phone calls from suppliers on a regular basis. And what they, within their supply chain, you know, determining supplier selection and rates on receipt of a purchase requisition was leading to questions about supplier suitability, the subsequent procurement stage. And they wanted a proactive self-service approach to procurement to achieve visibility into that, as well as into its suppliers and external labor that often come in and use and install and do things with the things that they procure. So by moving from a disconnected system to SAP Intelligent Spend offerings, they were able to get cohesive information, a clear view of this process of theirs, which includes consumer, supplier, procurement, and end user. They said that, you know, using this user-friendly platform allowed them to quickly reach compliance and usability by all of their employees across the company, made it very easy for them to do that. They simplified the user experience, and they were able to link suppliers, catalogs very, very closely and achieve a vision of total intelligent spend management using Fieldglass and Ariba particularly to start with. And they said that they have transformed procurement from a reactive processing role to one of proactively controlling and guiding thanks to uniform and transparent data, which is really fundamental to intelligent spend.
Great. Before we close out, let's look to the future a little bit. It sounds like you can do so much with what's available now, but we're not standing still in this business. Right. What comes next technologically, and how does that also combine with process efficiencies and people power, you know, giving people more intelligence to work with? What are we looking for next when it comes to how to further extend the value around intelligent spend management?
Yeah. So extending the value of intelligent spend management into the future, you know, it really begins with the, as we've talked about, the harmonization of data, the integration of processes seamlessly so that it's really process driven. And it doesn't really matter what's below the surface in terms of the technology, because it's all integrated and applied to a process seamlessly and holistically. What's coming in the future, though, on top of that, as we start to, you know, as companies start to take advantage of this more and more, is that more and more intelligent technologies are being infused into different parts of the process. So, for example, chatbots and the ability to interact with, for users to interact with the system in a very natural and even natural language way. The not only automation of processes is another example, but the ability to turn some processes into fully autonomous, where the, you know, the decisions based on the learning of the machines, right, is able to make the decisions for those things that happen all the time, right, that are repeatable, that are where the human element in that, on some of those very detailed and transactional type of processes, the user interaction can become one of oversight and one of exception management, where the autonomous processes take over and manage it, where everything fits inside of the learned parameters, but then brings the human element in to manage that, to change those parameters, and to manage exceptions and the things that fall outside of that. So I don't think there's ever going to be a removal of the human, but the human is now able with these technologies to become far more strategic, focus more on analytics, focus more on managing the issues that need management, and not on these repetitive processes that can be handled by the machine. So that's where, and now when you've got that connected across your entire process, that becomes even more efficient and allows for, like I said, more of that analysis. So that's kind of where, that's where it's going. Plus the adding of more ecosystem partners. You know, when you have a network ecosystem on intelligent spend that connects to, that allows for very easy connections to providers who can augment the core intelligent spend functions with data. So, for example, tax rules and compliance rules and VAT rules through different partners, and payment opportunities through partners like American Express that we have a partnership with, or through Thomson Reuters to add risk data. All of these things can be added, and you'll just see that ecosystem growing more and more to continue to add exponential value to being a part of an intelligent spend management platform.
There's going to be more opportunities for people to dig into this and understand it, find the ways that it makes sense for them to implement, because it varies from company to company. What are some ways that people can learn more details short term and maybe through some large events coming up?
Yeah, there's a lot coming up. Of course, you can always go to Ariba.com or SAP.com and find out about our intelligent spend management offerings. Ariba will be having, along with Fieldglass, will be hosting our live conference in Las Vegas in March. And so tons and tons of content there, lots of opportunity to interact with other folks who are, you know, in the same situation and implementing this similar things, can learn a lot. We're also doing a webinar with IDC to really dig into the details of the survey that we did coming up in the very early part of this year. And you could find information about that on Ariba.com. And certainly, if you're listening to this after the fact, you can certainly hear the recording of that. And you can come on to Ariba as well, Ariba.com, and download the report.
Well, very good. I'm afraid we'll have to leave it there. You've been listening to a sponsored Briefings Direct discussion on intelligent spend management through the exploration of the findings of a recent IDC survey. And we've learned how payoffs to gaining such a full and data-rich view of spend patterns across services, hiring, and goods include reduced risk, new business models, and better strategic decision-making. So a big thank you to our guest. We've been here with Drew Hoffler, Vice President of Portfolio Marketing at SAP Ariba and SAP Fieldglass. Thanks so much, Drew.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
And a big thank you as well to our audience for joining this Briefings Direct Modern Digital Business Innovation discussion. I'm Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, your host throughout this series of SAP-sponsored Briefings Direct discussions. Thanks again for listening, and do come back next time.